Get in the van!
We're doing podcast stuff!
We just saw Moita at the Wiltern.
Yeah. So, let me
oh,
start...
Oh, wait, let's introduce ourselves first.
Oh, sure.
So I'm Twisted Cat.
I'm Patch.
I'm Batman.
I'm Zach. I guess we're doing our superhero names. Mr. Wizard? I don't know.
Okay, Mr. Wizard. Excellent. Okay, you were saying, Patch.
So I'm going to buzz through the opener real quick, because they were universally hated, but I have to talk about them. So the opener was an electronic act, a DJ, a producer, who goes by Soul Bandit.
I certainly felt my soul leaving its body, leaving my body.
She wasn't actually bad
until
her closer number was the fucking hamster song. Ding 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 ding. Yeah, she the rest of her set was entirely
fine.
No, it wasn't even fine. It was entirely there.
It was pre-show music.
Yes.
She should have been a DJ in the balcony up to the side, playing pre-show music as people come in, getting ready for the band.
No, the pre-show music was actually better.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I stand by my earlier statement that the last time the hamster dance song was relevant was when people had, what was the site that I mentioned?
I don't know.
Newgrounds set as their homepage on Internet Explorer.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't awful, but it wasn't good. So, that's enough about Soul Bandit. I hope that she's a lovely human. Moving on. Moite.
Holy shit.
So have you ever wondered what it was like when marching band kids discover EDM and then make it their bitch?
Yeah, but not just marching band. Like, this is some of the influences that I was able to discern. And I'm not, like, a music history expert at all. But, like, there was definitely Thelonious Monk and Henry Mancini
and
Wynton Marsalis and... Count Basie influences left and right.
Because they're marching band kids, and marching band kids listen to all that shit. Yeah. They're fucking horn players.
Yeah. The not their, maybe it was their ultimate encore. Their main horn player was playing, I'm almost positive, it was fucking Bitches Brew.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me too.
By Miles Davis. I would like... I'm grooving, I'm in it, and then I'm like, what?
Well, the trumpeter was doing the Miles Davis bit. The baritone saxophonist, throughout most of their main set, anytime that they're not the baritone, the alto saxophonist, whenever he would come up and
tenor.
Have...
They had two berries and a tenor.
Okay.
The little blonde kid?
Yeah, because that's when I got the real strong Thelonious Monk, like Dangerous Liaisons vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, they were amazing. Amazing. So, I think I'm the resident EDM aficionado. I won't call myself an expert in the house here.
Yeah, I know what I'm listening to, but not enough to be like, oh, I know that.
I have seen Chemical Brothers sets with weaker breaks. I have seen Donald Glaude sets with less funk. I have seen, names are fucking escaping me, the big Dutchman, Armin van Buuren, work a crowd less effectively. Oh my fucking God, these guys were amazing.
Yeah. All without saying a word.
Yeah.
They said hello, Los Angeles.
Right, yes. But he said that into the microphone of his trumpet.
Yeah, there were a couple of points where the baritone saxophonist had lyrics.
Yeah, one of the Barry Sax players does some of the vocals. He's got like two songs, I think, that they do vocals to.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and also just real quick, like there were 11 people on stage.
Yep.
Four of them were percussionists.
Yeah.
And that's also worth noting.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That. So I don't know who's writing their arrangements, but whoever is writing their arrangements is fucking brilliant. Yeah.
Seriously.
Like a lot of what they do is standard marching band, because you've only got what you've got. Like right. In your drum corps, in your drum line, right? You've only got a drum and a couple of things. So you're not doing the whole drums
kit
scape.
Yeah.
And the way that they're, each one had their part and did their part, but like it didn't only happen with the percussion team.
Yeah.
Everyone did their part and had their part across the entire band. And it was amazing the soundscapes that they were able to craft and cut in the space of EDM.
Yeah. And
without any electronics at all.
Yeah.
And
that's the arrangements are part of what I meant when I was saying the Count Basie influence, because like the Count Basie band was able to just fill the space with so much more sound than you thought they should be able to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was very much the same with Moita, that these 11, I think they were all guys. Lighting was real bad about showing anything about them.
It's 11 kind of scruffy looking dudes wearing whatever they want with a marching band
jacket.
Coat.
Yeah.
That is decorated for each one. They've all got their patches and badges and everything on their custom coat.
Yeah.
So YouTube served this band up to me a few years ago, and I was an immediate fan. And I've been dying to see them live ever since. And they were listed to be playing LIB this weekend, and I didn't want to go to LIB, but I really wanted to see them. And then we were like, wait, if they're coming to LA from Germany, maybe they're playing somewhere else too.
How? I want to know how I have never heard of these guys before, and how the world has not heard of these guys before.
Yeah.
They are epic.
Well, the U.S. has not heard of them before.
They get huge crowds overseas.
Because, I mean, they play like Eurovision, like massive hundreds of thousands of people festivals in Europe.
This is not their first time in LA either. No. I mean, they shot one of their videos in Venice. You can tell it's Venice.
But like, I watch a lot of European music,
mm-hmm.
especially in this genre, in EDM or, right. or dance music.
Right.
Like,
and they somehow never came across your board.
Not once.
Until we mentioned it at dinner one time.
Yeah.
Not once.
I'm assuming you went down that rabbit hole hard that night.
No, I haven't. I've specifically not, because I wanted to come in on this show fresh.
Okay. Same.
When I was invited to come along to this, I knew nothing about the band, and I wanted to come in absolutely clean. And then, you know, y'all said, like, oh, they're German. And that did not prepare me at all.
Yeah, I didn't learn that they were German until 10 minutes before the show.
Yeah.
I've been trying to pronounce their name in Spanish and failing.
Right.
How does it sound in Spanish?
Oh, badly.
Muete.
Well, except that it's M-E-U, not M-U-E.
Muete.
So it's like meute.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, muerte.
Yeah.
So I've had no idea who the fuck we've been coming to see. And I have a rabbit hole to go down.
Yeah
seriously. A friend of mine... Sorry, go.
Go ahead.
A friend of mine from my last job is getting his PhD in musical arrangement, I think.
Technical issues.
And,
please hold.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. So my friend's getting his PhD, and he is a band, former band teacher, but he does musical arrangements, and he's a musician and jazz musician, among other things. And I texted him to see if he'd heard about this band. He said he'd heard about them, but had never really looked into them. And yeah, it's very much like, I love that I got to be here, and also that I get to talk about people who, or get to talk about this with people who, when I say, oh, like, they've got Wynton Marsalis and Dizzy Gillespie and Count Basie influences, and everyone here can be like, yeah, okay, I know who those people are, and I know what you mean. Like, but wasn't expecting to say those names in relation to 11 mostly young people from Germany.
Yeah, yeah, no, when, like, during that encore when the horn players started playing Miles Davis, it completely pulled me out of the rest of the groove, and I was riveted on what he was doing.
Yeah.
Because I recognized it, because that whole session, the Bitches Brew sessions, are amazing. Oh, yeah. My God, Miles Davis.
You have to be, like, in the right headspace for Bitches Brew. But
I'm always in that headspace.
I was just happy that they pulled out the AWOL Nation for it.
Yeah, because they just released that video.
Yeah,
like
they
last
just released
week.
A video. I got like a notification from Google or something that Moita had a new video.
Is that the one just before the
yeah.
Okay.
Sale?
Yes,
sale
thank
by
you.
AWOL Nation.
And I'm like, I saw it. My phone popped the thing up, and I was like, I really have to get out of bed and take a shower right now. But I really want to listen to this, right? And I'm like, I threw the phone on the bed, took my shower, came out and hit it full volume. I'm like, oh yes, I am here for this.
Yeah, that was really fantastic.
Yeah. I don't like that song for reasons that have nothing to do with that song.
Right.
And I loved this arrangement of it.
Yeah. Just that.
I mean, it was a fairly true arrangement
to
the song.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, personally, baritone sax is probably one of my favorite instruments ever.
And you hardly ever see it.
You don't.
And also, there was a tuba.
Sousaphone.
Sousaphone.
There was a sousaphone.
Yes. Same basic thing. But sousaphone.
There was
and
a tubish.
And two baritone saxes.
Yeah.
And just that rich, just bottom rumble
end.
On that.
Yeah.
My favorite.
And that is what they're using for that driving bass beat.
Well, can I take a moment to point out that bass drummer?
Oh my God.
The one who never stopped moving for like 2 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was his fucking purpose on this planet to keep that time for the entire show.
And, yeah. Unless I am mistaken, I believe he is actually... and off the driving force of the band.
Yeah.
I believe he is probably one of the one who does a lot of their arrangements, and he is the band leader. He is the main.
He
manager.
Is
that
amazing.
Would not surprise me to learn that is the case. That to be able to hold a, not necessarily a steady beat because the tempo changed throughout the show, but to be able to wear a bass drum and play it non-stop for the entire
hours.
Length of the
did,
set.
Did
that,
you guys...
That is big, fuck you, this is my drum circle energy.
He's also got the shaker and other stuff in there, too.
Yeah. About that, specifically about that, did you catch what he was doing during Sale?
Not necessarily.
So he's got the bass drum, and he's got the shaker, and he's doing the... Ch-ch-ch-ch.
Yeah.
That uh-huh. shaker hit... Which is completely arrhythmic to
right.
the actual beat, and it's not regular. It's at a specific point after the other drummer does a particular roll, he then has to follow up with ch-ch-ch-ch and still be hitting his...
Yeah, there were a couple of points where he had the shaker and was able to keep two different beats at the same time.
Yeah, he blew me away. He was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, part of what I love about them is the fact that they do the drops. The drops on everything that they do are just amazing. They'll bring it up, they'll hold it for a second, and just
drop
slam it
beat,
up.
Yeah.
So that was the other DJ reference I wanted to make.
Hmm.
They were more filthy than some of the Timo Maas sets I've seen.
Oh.
Just, they could bring the filth, and so good. So fucking good. So good.
So from a musician background, I just have to say that xylophonist.
Amazing.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
They were all amazing. They were all amazing. Every single one of them was amazing.
Yeah.
Like amazing musicians playing amazing arrangements.
Yeah.
Amazingly.
With all the showmanship of a marching band.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they were so good.
Yeah.
Nobody stood still.
You should see them.
Yes, if you have not had a chance to see them, please look them up on the internet. Figure out where they're playing anywhere near you. Drive like 500 miles. I don't fucking care. Go see them.
And then
honestly,
500 more.
Their live show is as good or better sounding than their actual studio recording.
Yeah, yeah, I had zero complaints about the sound.
They had, I mean, they do a lot of their recording live outdoors at parks and like at
they're a marching band
and rooftops.
They're
or whatever
a marching
else.
Band, of they, course they do.
But they that's do some worth others. Mentioning here.
They do some others like the song piece with the flute solo. Mm-hmm. They recorded somewhere or another in this abandoned building, and it's a full production, lighting and everything in there. But their live sound is as good or better than their actual recording.
They're not studio musicians.
No. Right.
No.
They are live musicians.
And they absolutely feed off of the audience. And they I don't know whether they were play acting or not, but they certainly seemed overwhelmed by the audience response at the end. And it was just adorable.
Yeah. And they feed off each other too. There were a lot of moments that like, if you're doing a tour and show after show after show, then those moments between bandmates where they're like pointing at each other and fist bumping can feel sort of forced, and this was absolutely not forced. Yeah. All of their interaction, all of their energy was organic and very much in the moment as far as I could tell.
So there was the one track that they did, I'm going to call it a track. There was the one track that they did where the horn player, the trumpeter, and the trombonist are basically...
Not the tromboner?
Yes. Are basically duetting, sort of.
Yeah.
And the trumpeter had the mute.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was specifically using the mute to not only on his own horn, but to catch sound from the trombonist and direct it into the microphone in his horn, and his horn was had an echo effect on it. And so he was basically playing both of their instruments with his mute and the electronic loop on his trumpet. It was
so cool.
It was really amazing. That moment it also. Was really amazing.
But yeah, to what Batman was saying, that like we've all been to rock shows where like the arena sound is garbled or it's nowhere near as clean and as crisp as what you get on a studio album, or the sound just isn't right for the space and the acoustics
doesn't
are all
fucked need to
up.
Be an arena.
Listen to our last podcast.
And it was so joyous to be in a space that, like, we've seen shows at that venue with worse sound.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
And
this venue is one of the better venues for sound.
It's certainly not the Belasco.
And to hear...
bar.
Fuck the Belasco.
And to hear that quality, that clearness, that clarity... And the crispness of all of the instruments, right? You could pick out which of the two baritone saxes were doing which note. That the ability to hear that was just so amazing.
Well, and part of it was they weren't trying to blast everybody's ears out. That's the problem you get at a lot of rock shows, is everything ends up muddy because it's too loud.
Well, and in that case, most rock shows are, you've got a guitar player, or maybe two. There's a lead and a rhythm, and there's a bass player. Each one is playing their instrument, and it's got to be mixed there, but each one is trying to play their instrument. These guys are, each instrument is only playing a small piece of the song.
Yes.
So there is no particular instrument that is carrying anything at any point, because
Well, except the xylophone.
Well, yeah, it has its time, but they all have little solos here and there. They'll solo the trumpet, they'll solo flute, they'll solo the xylophone.
The rest of the time, they're clear that they're an ensemble.
They are very much like, I'm playing this half of the bass line. He's playing the sousaphone is playing the other half of the bass line, and jockeying back and forth just to mesh.
Mm-hmm. Also, really quickly, can we just take a moment and acknowledge that we're speaking positively about a flute solo? Because that doesn't happen very often either.
I like Jethro Tull.
Jethro Tull won the Grammy for Best Metal Album in, I don't remember what year it was, and I was I'm still bitter about that. Jethro Tull is not a fucking metal act. God damn it.
As a recovering flautist.
God, we've been gushing so hard over the music. The lighting.
The lighting.
That was an amazing... But please correct me if I'm wrong, Batman, because, like, I saw some things in their lighting that I've never seen before. Like, that light show was really, really, really good.
It was. They did not only a really good job of maintaining their symmetry and using other parts of the lighting rig as part of, like, as a target for the light.
They
would hit a light into a light and back and create this chain. They also did a number of effects that I was like, ooh, I can use that. There were a couple things.
The opening, when they had the
Astera tubes, yeah.
Yeah, they had those, and then they did their movers logo. Straight up.
Yeah.
And then they changed the beam.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Ah, so good.
And I did get a video of the opening, so you all can see that, because Patch is doing a lot of hand motions.
And their floor blinders, I actually did not find their floor blinders obnoxious.
There were two songs where I had to close my eyes for the entire thing.
Yeah, so there's sort of two halves to my response to the lighting, which is it looked fucking gorgeous, right? The design and the execution were phenomenal. I also just really hate being the target of lighting at concerts. And this is not unique to them.
Yeah.
This is a concert lighting thing, and it has been for I don't know how many years. I don't like being blinded by rock show or by stage lighting.
I am usually right on that with you. Like really, really, really. And the floor blinders were less intense than any floor blinder I have ever seen before in my life. And they're filming something in front of us.
With some dude walking in track pants.
With an epic mullet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. That was distracting.
We can edit that out. It's fine.
No, we can leave it in.
but their floor blinders were not as intense as I usually see. And, I mean, I was really into kind of the whole thing of what was going on. And so I let the floor blinders do their thing at me because it wasn't actually painful. It was just blinding. And I let it do the thing. And there were a few times, not just in that number, but throughout the entire show, where I had to double check myself. I'm like, I didn't drop acid before this, right? No, I didn't. Wow.
Yeah.
This is really good.
And I think you hit on something that's the reason why I have both of those halves of my response. Because I've definitely been to shows where all I have is why. Why would you assault the audience with that shitty lighting?
Yes.
The band that opened for Green Day.
and the thing with this one is that everything was such a clear decision for a very specific effect.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just what happens if I push this button. It was, we want to create this visual impact and this visual lightscape. And it was very much an intentional design.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that there was a design behind it, not just, hey, we've got lights here.
Mm-hmm.
And that really does counter my general, like, grumpiness. It's not even grumpy. It's just, like, grumbliness
mm-hmm.
about not liking the lights pointed at me at a show but it was so intentional and so beautifully designed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, part of mine on it was, like I said, the symmetry of it, but not even getting into the symmetry, but mostly just he had his presets and they hit their spot. And like when he was going across, his plane was flat. He's got 10 lights on stage and there is not one light that is just a little bit higher than the other. Everything is a solid. His positioning was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really was.
The positioning for all of those lights was exceedingly well done.
And all of the band members knew their blocking. They knew exactly where to stand to create
hitting their
the
marks.
Effect with the lights. It was all one cohesive show, right? It didn't feel like the lighting designer was doing a lighting designer thing while there was a show going on. It didn't feel like the band was playing on stage without regard to where the lights were. It was all cohesive, and it created a whole.
Well, and it's the same thing that I tell people when I show up at an event half the time. They're like, oh, are you with the band? Oh, yeah. What do you play? Lights. I play lights. Because if you do it right, you're not the lighting guy who does lighting over there. You are literally part of the band, and my instrument is lights.
Mm-hmm.
That is how it should be done.
And it very rarely is.
Yes.
Aside from, like, a spotlight where, you know, hey, there's someone soloing. We should make them the visual focus. But, like, that's... A high school freshman could do that.
There was one flub where they failed to light the xylophonist yes. during his solo. That was funny. They figured it out.
Yeah. But, like, we noticed that because that stood out.
Yeah.
And everyone, like, okay, cool. There was one sort of flub, but, like...
Yeah.
That was just somebody going, oh, shit, I need to bring that fader up.
Yeah.
There's a thing happening.
All right. Yeah. So.
I think we are actually out of things to say.
Crazy.
Other than, wow, what
very
a great
good.
Show.
Very good, yes.
My brain, it go boosh.
Yeah. Here's a Kleenex.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's Vangabus.
Yes, that's...
No, you do not need to share any
going
of that
to
with...
pizza!
No.
Get in the bus!
No. Get in the Vangabus!
Get in the Vangabus!
We're doing podcast stuff.